Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Like they're going to do the tush push, and they don't get in. Ohio State does it again. Nebraska, Penn State last year, and right now.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. From the student section behind the goal line on Saturdays to the buzzer beaters of the madness in March, welcome to episode number 10 of Bowl Games and Brackets. I am Joe, and I am joined by my compadre, Darren, and we are here to take you through the world of college football and basketball. From the rivalries and underdogs to the legendary performances, we will be your guide. From your dorm to the tailgate, we have you covered each and every week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And Darren, welcome to week two.
Week two, it's week three. Enough of this week two garbage. Week zero does not exist. I apologize. but we actually get a nice slate of games this week, Joe. We get a ton of them. We're going to go through the ones that we deem to be the biggest this week. But there are a lot of high-quality games. And the fact is that with USA and TNT and the CW, plus all the conference networks, plus Peacock and all this other crap, you basically have four or five games on at a time. From noon till midnight. It's freaking crazy. It really is.
Yeah. All day Saturday from noon to, like you say, midnight, 1 a.m. You get the late starts. It's going to be a great day Saturday. And now we're starting to see more and more conference play. So there'll be a couple more out-of-conference games this week, but then conference play really will start to pick up.
Yep. No, and it'll be exciting. By the end of this month, it really starts getting exciting. We have a lot of cool matchups that'll hit in September. But honestly, I don't think there's a bigger matchup for anyone than number four playing number one this week. Hey, listen, the site is Darryl K. Royal, Texas Memorial Stadium. Okay, under the lights in Austin, you get the Ohio State Buckeyes coming to town to take on, you know, the Texas Longhorns. You got Bucky versus Bevo. We've got, Arch versus Saiyan. We've got an incredible matchup of two big-time programs and teams with major aspirations that both expect to be in the playoff, Joe. Tell me about Ohio State. Tell me what Ohio State's going to do with this game.
Well, I think Ohio State, again, is going to be led, like you said, Julian Saiyan. This is a chance to show off the arm. And he opened up last week 21-25 for 320 yards. He threw three touchdowns in their blowout win. So, they blew out Ball State, expected. But now they're going in to play Texas. Not going to be an easy game. But, they're ready to go. Matt Patricia's going to have the defense ready to go. I think Ohio State is going to last year – they were in their face most of that game. I think it was like 40 times that they pressured Manning. Now Manning was basically a true freshman. Now he's going into his sophomore year. But the Ohio State defense is not going to sit back and relax. They are going to be on him. They're going to be on him. They're going to be on top of him. I think Ohio State's really primed for this game. I think Ryan Day, for one thing, is Ohio State's always prepared. Ryan Day is going to have, last year they did, Bo Jackson this year. They got Bo Jackson running the ball, Jacoby Jackson. The Jacksons, they actually each went for over 80 yards and touchdowns last week. I think this is going to be a real good game on offense for Ohio State. I don't know if Texas is going to be able to stop them. I think Ohio State's there. Their defense is ready. And this is a key game. Because this is going to lead us to the end of the year, this is going to be a key opportunity to see SEC, Big Ten, end of the year, where teams are going to finish as well. Now, on the Texas side, what do you think? Is Arch Manning ready for this game?
Well, here's the thing. The Jackson 2, as we're going to call him now, just starts his own band, I guess, as he goes to the Jackson 2. listen, Arch Manning is very different than he was in his first start last year. We know that. But the real difference is the weapons, okay? He's got Ryan Wingo. Trey Wingo's an announcer. Wingo, and he got the Auburn transfer, Cam Coleman. They're going to have to respect those guys. Ohio State's not going to be able to sit there and just load up and not have respect for the receivers on Texas. You know, that's going to really make it a little easier on them. The Texas defense, at the same point in time, you know, you have Colin Simmons. They're a real physical group. They're really going to sit there, and they're going to have to figure out a way to get Julian Sayin to be uncomfortable, because let's be honest, he wasn't unbelievably impressive in last year's game against the Texas defense either. So neither one of these quarterbacks, both young, not trying to pick on either one of them, came out and were fantastic. Texas has three keys in this game, okay? Number one, they're going to have to win some matchups outside, okay? The receivers are going to have to win the matchups. Number two is that they're going to have to take away, Musham's got to come up with a way to take away Jeremiah Smith and do it without leaving other one-on-one matchups all over the field. He's got to find a way to do what nobody else does and keep that kid in check. A pass rush will be the best friend of the cornerbacks. They're going to have to find a way to get a pass rush going. The home field advantage, listen, it's going to be over 100 degrees even at night in Austin on Saturday on the field. It'll be about 100 throughout the day, but on the field it's going to be over 100. Ohio State's not going to be used to that temperature as much as Texas is, which is a bit of an advantage, I believe, for the Longhorns. And the Texas offensive line is going to have to be able to create running lanes and time for Arch Manning. That's what it's going to come down to. If they can give him the time that he needs, they have an opportunity to win this game. Ohio State's defensive front is excellent. Texas's offensive line is being pieced together. There's a lot of talent there. They haven't played together for more than one game, and it was against Texas State, and they blew him out, and they were supposed to blow him out, and we have no idea what's going to happen going forward. So when you break this game down, the Texas O-line against the Ohio State D-line. If Texas's O-line can be serviceable, be decent, be good, not have to be great, just good, Texas can find a way to win this game. They are the favorite in this game. They're a 1.5-point choice. I mean, you get a lot of excitement in this game. It's the big boys doing the announcing, too, this week, Joe. We get, we get Herb Street and Fowler in this one. We get the big dogs in this matchup.
And it's rare that Herb Street and Fowler get the Ohio State, an Ohio State game.
But Herb Street's usually very good about being an Ohio State guy. He doesn't come off as a homer, so I give him the benefit of the doubt.
But Texas's left tackle now, Trevor Goosby, is coming. He got injured, in his left knee in practices in August. He came back. They managed him last week. Now he's got to come out, and he's got to stop Kenyatta Jackson Jr. It's not going to be an easy task.
It's not. Listen, the O-line is not as good as the Ohio State D-line. They need the crowd momentum. They need the push, Joe. They really need the push. That's the only way they're going to win it.
They got it, and that's where possibly, like you said, the offense can get going if he can get the ball out to Wingo. But Arch Manning also sometimes gets stuck in the pocket a little bit longer. If Julian Sayin's getting the ball out and getting the ball out fast, he can keep the Texas defense at bay. And once he gets all he's got to do is get the ball to Jeremiah Smith and let him do all the work once he gets it. The most talented player on the whole field on Saturday is going to be him. So
second and third might be Wingo and Coleman, I think, in reverse order. But yes, it's not like Texas doesn't have two superstars on the outside that can make Ohio State have to work.
Both teams have talent
in corner and the secondary to cover. Again, Texas is going to have to figure out a way not to allow Smith to take two or three guys covering him and have mismatches all over the field. They're going to need a pass rush, and they're going to need a way to neutralize him. Not easy.
No. And because they also know that Jackson 2, can run the ball. If you're going to stop the, if you're going to spend all your time trying to stop that pass to the passing game to Jeremiah Smith, they're going to be running the ball as best they can as well. So it's going to be a real good game. I mean, I'm going to save my pick for later, but it's going to be a real good game and get out of the chute. I think that's a real good game to start off with this week.
Yeah, it's the game. It's the game of the week. It's probably the game of the month. You know, these two teams are top five teams going to battle. They played last year. It was a close game last year. Whoever wins this game will be ranked one and probably ranked one for a long time. Whoever loses this game will probably stay in the top seven unless it's a blowout for some insane reason, which is hard to imagine.
No.
And we
I'm sorry, both Bill. These teams, their schedules get a little bit easier after this. Not much, but they still get a little easier after this.
Absolutely. So
it should be a good one. I think you're right. Whoever wins is going to be number one. And that conference also will get a little check mark next to it when it comes down to seeding in December.
Yeah. You know, it's a top team versus top team, or at least projected top team.
Projected top team.
Well, and while we have that conference, Joe, we might as well go to the next matchup in the SEC Big Ten battle this week. We get Oklahoma heading to the Big House, Joe. Luckiest team in America right now would be the Michigan Wolverines because they found the magical second. Oklahoma didn't play much, but Mateer did enough last week, and Mateer did enough last year to win this game in Norman. Different crowd now. Now you're going to go into, you're going to go into the Big House. This is a different animal you're facing. We get Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt on the call. Jenny Taft on the sidelines, Joe. Tell me a little bit about Michigan here for this week.
Oh, God. Kyle Whittingham must have had these guys in practice. He's got to get this offense rolling. Bryce Underwood, I don't know, underperformed. Not Underwood, underperformed last week. Michigan came up, again, with a lucky second. What happened on that last play was something that I kind of thought was going to happen most of the game. It was going to be Underwood to J.J. Buchanan. And I would have thought that they would have had a phenomenal game because people were talking about them, how they practiced. They had good practices. They looked like they were going to be good. And J.J. Buchanan was the receiver they needed. Yes, he showed up at the end of the game. But the whole thing was, where was that offense? Bryce Underwood at times looked lost out there against Western Michigan. And, yes, Western Michigan had a good defense, but he looked lost. So I'm hoping that this week they're going to be able to turn it on and Bryce Underwood spends his time in practice. The defense played well for Michigan. They were kind of all set up. They really held Western Michigan to only those four field goals. It wasn't even much of a – it was a bend, not break type defense last week. But last year, Oklahoma took them out. They beat Michigan by 24-13 in Norman. So there's a good chance that, Oklahoma can hang tough. And what more about Oklahoma is, do you think Mateer is going to have a good game this week?
Well, last year he threw for 344, ran for two touchdowns, threw for another one in this matchup. But that was at home again.
Yes.
Michigan's intimidating. Noon start, it's not an easy place to play. But here's the thing. Oklahoma has defense, will travel, right? They're going to bring their defense with them everywhere where they go. I know you asked me about Mateer first, but I think that a couple of the advantages are that Oklahoma defense, because Western Michigan had the ball for 40 minutes last week. Michigan had it for 20. And that's because Michigan was a lot of three and outs and stuff like that. And Oklahoma's defense has got to be considered better than Western Michigan's defense. So you gotta like their chances in that. Mateer has already shown he can beat this team. In fact, Michigan has never beaten Oklahoma. 0-2 lifetime, not that it's a big deal, but nonetheless, it still happens. So what's going to happen is Mateer's healthy. He was healthy early last year. He got hurt. Oklahoma suffered a little bit with that. It wasn't even him truly when he came back in time for the end of the season and the playoff. But Mateer is a dual threat quarterback, much like what Michigan throws at you, he can run as well, and he's going to Underwood probably the biggest disappointment of any NIL player we've seen in the last couple of years. Mateer so much, and he's got really, he's got an opportunity to really kind of put himself on the Heisman talk map this week with a good performance. Oklahoma's O-line is one of the strengths of this team. Michigan's D-line is good. The winner in that battle is probably going to have an opportunity to win this overall game. I think if Oklahoma's offensive line can, you know, I don't know, give Mateer a little bit of time to make decisions and be the dual threat that he is, I think that's really where the difference in this game could lie, Joe.
Wow. Okay. You know, they held down Western Michigan for most of that game. I mean, they really Ben don't
break. Get off the field though, Joe.
I know.
40 minutes. You're not going to win a lot of games when you have 20 minutes. You know.
That's true. That's true. But Underwood has to look better. He didn't look comfortable at all. And this is against the MAC defense. So, you know, Oklahoma's going to be bringing it, as we know. And it is going to be interesting to see what happens. I like Mateer. I like Oklahoma. I think that they, you know, they have a shot as well. But this is really going to be a test of Kyle Whittingham, too. You know, Michigan loses this game, you know, being 1-1, but for all intents and purposes, 0-2. There's going to be a lot of questions about, you know, was Whittingham just a good coach in that was the right conference for him? So there's a lot riding on this game, too.
Yeah, and listen, you don't often see a team that wins the game and falls out of the rankings from 16 to out. That's what happened to Michigan this week. We're going to make our pick later, but this is a little bit more of an intriguing game because of where you're playing it. I know the Big House was the scene last week as well, but this is Oklahoma coming to town. The crowd is going to be revved up, and it's Michigan. They expect to win every week, so we should have some good fireworks and some pretty good excitement, Joe.
No, definitely 100%. That is right up there, Al. That's going to be a good one for sure.
Absolutely. Our third feature game is probably not one that anyone's expecting to be a feature game, but to us it is because this is the lose-or-leave-town, you know, group of five matchup at Albertson Stadium in Boise, Idaho, on the blue turf, Joe, where you like to watch games. You live for this blue turf. This is your jam. This is what you love. And, We get Nate Gatter and Ryan Leaf. They dust off Ryan Leaf for this one. Game on USA. So you're going to have to look around to try to find it, Joe. We got Memphis at Boise. Joe, Memphis.
Jalen Carter, man. He put himself, I think, into the Heisman race last week with his performance on the ground. And I think that's going to be a key for Memphis. If they can get going and get that running game going against Boise. Now, Boise has a stout defense. We know that. But I think the Memphis running game is going to be key for this game this week. I love the blue turf, as you said. We love the blue turf. And I'm really excited for this one. But I like Jalen Carter. I really think Huff's got his team going. I think this is a good game for them. I just lost my piece of paper with it, but of course, right? Because I was in the middle of talking about it, and I had my piece of paper. But let me give me a second here. I'll find it.
Right, I'm going to go to Boise while you're looking. Did you find it? You have it?
No, give me a second here.
We'll go to Boise. Here's the thing. Boise, just like Louisville, okay? These are the two most impressive teams to me last week. They both lost. Boise gave number two Oregon all they could ask for at Outson last week. You know, first of all, we talk about Albertson Stadium. Spencer Danielson, this team's 14-1 at home on the Spencer Danielson. So they win their home games. Key matchup in this one, that rushing attack of Memphis against the front of Boise State. Don't sleep, though, on the other side. Because Boise State, Dylan Riley, and Sire Gaines is a great 1-2 combination on their side. And they ran the ball effectively against a really good Oregon team last week. So they can do things as well. And I honestly think the advantage of quarterback, despite how well, I'm blanking on his name right now, played for Memphis last week, in the last 2 weeks, actually. But I think Maddox Mattson, the veteran, has a real shot of being the player of the game. I think he's special. I think he's really good. And Stokes is the quarterback at Memphis. I'm sorry about that.
Marcus Stokes.
But yeah, if Memphis is going to try to run the ball. If Boise State can control the defensive line, the offensive line with their defensive line, keep them at bay, and force Stokes to beat them, Boise State wins this game. If Memphis runs roughshod, Memphis wins this game. Boise's got a lot of advantages. The thin air, Boise, Idaho, blue field, 6 o'clock, USA. No one knows what's going on. They're not going to be able to find this game because who's looking at USA? But if you're looking for a great game before the 7 o'clock features, 7:30 features come on, this is the game to watch. Joe, you added a couple more points on Memphis.
Yeah, well, first off, Memphis 2-0 already. So they took out UNLV week one, and then they took care of Arkansas State. Not exactly a big-time team, but UNLV was in the hunt for one of those game of six, conference of six spots. Boise 0-1. Boise loses this one, and they're really, their back might be to the wall, and they might not have any shot, but Memphis wins this, like we said, loser leave town. Memphis wins this game and wins it really well. They're probably poised to be the lead dog going in for the at-large bid, so to speak, into the college football playoff. Boise, if they lose this one, probably out. If they lose it close, that might help them a little bit in case Memphis trips up. But, you know, this is a big game for Memphis. And I think they're running. I mean, it's Jalen Carter. I think he's going to be able to get free and run. He's run impressively the 2 weeks. They've already, in two games, racked up almost 1,000 yards in offense on Memphis and over 300 yards on the ground last week against Arkansas State. So they are coming. So I think it's going to be very important. I'll give my pick in a little bit. But Memphis also, the explosive plays, they've already had almost 30 explosive plays of more than 15 yards since the season started in two games. So they're averaging 15 plus yards play per game. So their offense is coming. I think they're going to be really, really good. And, I'm like Memphis's chances.
All right. Well, we're going to get into it a little bit more. We're going to make our pick later. I think Boise at home, though, is always a tough team to beat on that blue field. But, Joe, there's a couple other games we wanted to mention. Tennessee-Georgia Tech was one you were looking at.
Yep, Tennessee-Georgia Tech. They're going to play 7 p.m. on ESPN. Tennessee routed Furman last week, 56-9. They put up over 630 yards. They were led by Faizion Brandon. Albeit it was an FCS team, they had a great game. Georgia Tech coming off the one-point loss to Colorado. They only had held to 51 yards. They have to establish a ground game to help Alberto Mendoza out. Otherwise, he's going to be the weaker of the two Mendoza brothers. And that game is taking place Saturday at 7 p.m. And I like in that game Tennessee minus 11.5.
Okay. Yeah, you get that game on ESPN, you get Wischusen and Lewis Riddick doing
that. They love Bob Wischusen.
Absolutely.
Now, the in-state rival, Iowa State.
That's the Cy-Hawk Classics. Yes. Cy-Hawk Classic, Cy-Hawk easy for me to classic. Say. Listen, this is a battle that usually doesn't get to play under the lights, but this week they're playing on NBC 7:30. We get Brad Nessler, Charles Davis. I mean, so we got Jenny Dell on the sideline. We got a lot going on in this thriller. This is a matchup that's usually very close. Talent-wise, Iowa is better. Shut out their opponent last week. The defense is always there. The Iowa State Cyclones rebuilding under Jimmy Rogers. First year, it takes over for Matt Campbell. Came in from Washington State. Defensive-minded coach. This team's going to try to sit there and create turnovers, keep the explosive plays under wraps for Iowa, and have a few of their own, which they did last week. Iowa, their whole thing is simple. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Let the defense win the game for them. So it's going to be Iowa State's defense versus Iowa's rushing attack. That's the entire game here. In this one, I'm taking the 14. I think Iowa State keeps it close. I think Iowa wins it at Kinnick. But I think Iowa State keeps it close, Joe. I think that there's a real chance for this team to kind of, make this a game, make this exciting. Joe, tell us about what's going on out in sunny L.A.
Yep, in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, Pasadena, California. San Diego State 1-0 taking on UCLA Saturday, 4:15 on the Big Ten Network. Do you know who's calling that game or no? We don't know.
I do know who's calling that game. We have UCLA I will have that for you in 1 second. Sorry, Joe.
Okay. Meanwhile, so Bob Chesney got off to a good start.
Wayne Randazzo and Brett Hundley.
Oh, okay. Oh, Brent Hundley he was a backup quarterback, right?
He was a starter for UCLA.
Starter for UCLA.
He plays the backup in Green Bay.
Yeah. Good start from Nico Amaleva last week, but no TDs in the air, and he rushed for a touchdown. You know, UCLA at home should look good. San Diego State, they have this game this week, and they shouldn't get caught looking ahead. They have a big game next week against James Madison that if they get off to a 2-0 start, that James Madison game would look big on their resume going forward, as well as a win against UCLA. But UCLA, I think they have the firepower, and I am going to take UCLA minus 12.5 this week.
Okie dokie.
Now, you're going to take us to Oregon and Oklahoma State, Stillwater.
Stillwater, Boone's Pickens Stadium. They haven't hosted a team this highly ranked since 1978 to kick off their season anyway. Oregon had an impressive week one, not overly impressive as Boise State hung around, but they did enough to win that game, came back. You saw the explosive plays that they have. Oklahoma State laid an egg week one at Tulsa. This offense that was vaunted, that my friend Joe said was going to be really, really competitive this year, showed nothing against the Golden Hurricane on the road in week one. But now they get them back at Boone's Pickens, so we have a real interesting matchup. Here's the thing. Oklahoma State turned the ball over 4 times last week. Oklahoma State, to win this game, has to win the turnover battle, or they will not win this game. Oregon's got all the talent, and the defense started to get better as the game went on and really kind of closed it off in those last 2 drives to put it away. For Oklahoma State to win, Drew Mestermaker has to hit some big plays, but they also have to control the clock, shorten the game, not allow Oregon to have the ball too much. For Oregon to win this game, Oregon's got to have to do what Oregon does, play strong, great defense, and let the playmakers play. Spread's 23.5 in this one. And I think Oklahoma State's going to keep it close for a while, but I think Oregon's going to pull away. I'm going to lay the wood in this one. I think Oregon State wins this game. I'm going to say 45-17. I think they find a way to pull it away, Joe.
Oh, wow. You even gave the score on that one.
Well, I'm trying to get aggressive here, Joe. I can't sit here and not tell you where I want to go with that one. But now we're going to go to Texas. We're going to go a little south from Oklahoma, where you're going to tell us about Arizona State and Texas A&M.
And you know what? I think there's going to be a surprise in this game. Yes, Texas A&M, they are favored by 14.5 in this game. It's going to be 12 noon on ABC. Who's doing this game?
Is being done by Tom Hart and Jesse Palmer.
And you know who I like in this game? He showed me a lot last week, Cutter Bowley. He looked good. I know it was Morgan State, but I think I think he's gonna come out. He's gonna have a decent game. I think Arizona State's gonna be able to move the ball a little bit, but he is gonna be pressured a lot by Marcus Radcliffe and Dalton Brooks on that Texas A&M defense. I think that they're gonna hang tough, Arizona State. I don't think they're gonna win the game, but I do think that they're gonna lose the game within 14.5 points. We'll put it that way. I think Texas A&M takes them out 35-24.
Okie dokie. All right. Yeah, I can see that. I can see now I'm forcing you to make scores. Now look how upset you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Now you've turned the tables around. Now, you got the next one. You're going to have Mississippi State and Minnesota.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. This is another Big Ten SEC matchup. This time the Big Ten team hosts it. CBS, 3:30, Brad Nessler, Charles Davis. Jenny Dell on the call on this one. This is an interesting game. Both teams unbelievably impressive in week one against very inferior competition. For Mississippi State to win, they're going to have to continue to do the big plays. They got to let Kamario Taylor, who I've been touting since last year. They're going to have to let him, you know, be creative. He runs, he throws. They had 762 yards in total offense last week. They won't do that against Minnesota, but they could put up points and they could put up yards. They averaged almost 10 yards a play last week. The defense on Mississippi State improved. Okay, Zach Arnett's back. They're playing the 3-3-5. They're blitzing. They're playing aggressive. But the thing about it is Minnesota's got a little continuity on their side, too. P.J. Fleck's been there 10 years. He knows what he's doing. Drake Lindsey had a really nice game in week one. He's a very steady quarterback coming back from last year. Darius Taylor's a heck of a running back. The key to this game is going to honestly be if Minnesota's defense can slow down Mississippi State. Mississippi State's explosive against Minnesota's ability to try to grind. Minnesota's going to try to shorten this game. They're going to protect the football. They're going to try to win it on special teams where, you know, last week Javon Tracy had two returns for touchdowns. If they can do something like that and get big plays on special teams, Minnesota wins this game. This is, this is one of those games where, you know, I don't know. It's hard to pick who's going to win it because you could see either team finding a way. But I'm going to take Minnesota at home. I think Minnesota's going to lay the 1.5, and I think they find a way to win this game. I'll say they win it by a field goal. I'm going to say that they win 34-31. I'm going to say that they win this game, Joe. I think they find a way. Joe, one last game you want to get into for us.
I'm going out to Rice-Eccles Stadium, Utah, hosting Arkansas at 10:15 on ESPN. So after you watch Ohio State, Texas, as that game's winding down, you can flip it over and have the dessert of the night, Arkansas against Utah.
Ryan, I don't have Silver, the announcers on that one. Sorry about it.
Yeah, too late in the night. By then, nobody's going to want to care. They keep the sound off. Just watch the game. You know what? Both coming in 1-0. Ryan Silverfield coming for the Arkansas head coach. Leading his team in against Utah and their first year coach in Morgan Scalley. Look, I think Utah ranked number 20. They got to keep they blew out Idaho last week, 50-point win, home game. I think Utah comes out. I think Utah puts up a good number of points. I think they cover the 12.5-point spread. And I think it's going to be Utah 35, Arkansas 10. I think, Arkansas is going to try, but I think Utah at home, they just got too many weapons. I like Utah in this game.
Okay. I got one last one for you as well. And it's an SEC conference matchup. We get Alabama, the Crimson Tide, who ran the ball last week and ran it effectively. They head to Kentucky. They've head to the Commonwealth. They're going to get ready on ABC at 3:30 with Sean McDonough and Greg McElroy. And we're going to have Alabama heading to Kentucky, okay? This is Kroger Stadium, by the way. This is an interesting one because this is going to be Keelan Russell's first true road game, okay? Looked impressive last week, rushed for 86 yards, threw for over 200, did everything right that he was supposed to. He's a tremendous athlete. Daniel Hill and E.J. Crowe, physical in the running game. A lot of cool things that were going on for Alabama last week. And Alabama's defense was outstanding. They held East Carolina to 2 rushing yards. They had 0 third down conversions. Did a lot of things right. But then we get Kentucky. Kentucky's got a home game. Will Stein, new regime, trying to bring this in, get it going. Kenny Minchie, the Notre Dame transfer. He threw for 301 and 4 touchdowns last week. Against lesser competition, I get it. But still, Minchie was recruited big time. He's not one of those quarterbacks that's just sneaking up on everybody. What Kentucky needs to do to win this game, they got to get the crowd. They got to protect Minchie with the offensive line that's not great at Kentucky. And they got to create turnovers. What Alabama needs to do, continue to run the ball. Take the pressure off the freshman. Pressure Minchie. And to be honest with you, they got to survive that first 15 minutes because Kentucky's going to come out all fired up. You know, This is one of those games where I think Alabama finds a way to win, but I think Kentucky's going to cover this spread. I think this game's going to be a game in the fourth quarter. I think that's what Kentucky needs it to be. I think that true freshman on the road, SEC, loud, I don't think he's above making a few mistakes in this game. I'm going to take Kentucky to lose this game. Let's call it 27-21 in favor of Alabama. Okay.
All right.
And so those are the games that we're really featuring, but there's one other one I want to mention, Joe. And only because of 9/11, and it's a really interesting story. So Friday night, we get Rutgers, the team we made fun of the other night as the biggest embarrassment in college football, and they're playing Boston College for the 25th anniversary of 9/11. They're playing on Friday night, and for Boston College, they have the red bandana, you know, tradition. Wells Crowther, who is a Boston College graduate, what he did was he went back into the towers and saved at least 18 people, putting a red bandana around his mouth and his nose so he could keep going back in and rescue people on 9/11. So he kept going in, got 18 people minimum out, and until he eventually succumbed to the smoke and passed away. So this is the red bandana game. They wear special uniforms. You know, he was a lacrosse player at BC. They wear these red bandana themed uniforms, which say Four Wells on the jersey nameplates. On the other side, Rutgers, being 40 miles away from Ground Zero, they lost 37 people that had graduated from the college in the towers that day. So they're all going to wear number 37 on their helmets in commemoration of that. Listen, it's going to be an emotional moment. Two teams paying great tribute to everything that happened 25 years ago. Even if you're not interested in the game, to watch the pregame and see what's going on, I think it'll be something that really stands out, Joe.
No, 100%. 100%.
And every year BC does the red bandana game, and it's always kind of a cool thing. And, you know, there's a lot to be, you know, a lot to be thankful and excited for with these teams paying, you know, a special tribute to the to those that perished that day. But, you know, we got to get on with our stuff here, Joe. So we got three big games to pick.
Yep. Which one?
Why don't we start with the big dog, right? We want to do that last or first? We'll do that last?
No, we can do that last.
All right, let's start with the third first then. Let's go. We have Memphis. We have Boise. We have Albertson Stadium. We have the Blue Turf, Joe. Sure.
40th anniversary of the Blue Turf, and I'm going to take Memphis plus 8.5. I think they actually are going to win the game outright, 31-28.
And I am going to go head-to-head with Joe. I think Boise wins this game, and they win it by two touchdowns. I'm going to say Boise State wins 41-27 against Memphis. I think they put up points. I don't think Memphis is able to slow them down, but I think Boise's able to shut down the running game a little bit and make Stokes have to beat him through the air. I'm going to say Boise State wins, and they win somewhat convincingly in this one. So we're head-to-head on the first one. Second one, Joe, we go to the big house. We've got Oklahoma. We've got Michigan.
You know what? I'm going with Oklahoma, minus 4.5 in this game. And I think Oklahoma is going to win. I think it's going to be bigger than that. I think Michigan, I don't think that, even though I'm hoping, and I did the report on Michigan that Bryce Underwood had to get, you know, put everything together. I think it's going to be Oklahoma 35, Michigan 17. I think they will score a late touchdown to get to 35-17, but I don't think it's going to be a good day in the big house, and I think they're still going to be starting to question Kyle Whittingham after this week.
You know, it's funny. I'm going head-to-head with you twice.
Really?
I think Michigan is going to build off that. I covered Oklahoma in this one, and everything you read has Oklahoma as the team to beat in this game.
Yep.
I think that Michigan is going to find a way to win this game by a field goal. I think they're going to take that Hail Mary. They're going to take all the negative energy they've gotten all week. They're going to practice well, which I've heard they have. I think Kyle's going to get these guys motivated and ready to go. And I think Michigan sneaks out of this game with a field goal victory. I'm going to say it's 24-21 Michigan, which stuns me that I'm thinking this way. But I'm going to go with Michigan in this one. I think they find a way.
Wow. Okay.
And then we got the big one, Joe.
The big one for basically the number one spot in the possibly in the playoffs, for at least the number one ranking for the next several weeks. Ohio State, Texas. I'm going to go with the Buckeyes plus 1.5. I think on the road, no matter what, I think Ryan Day does have his team prepared. I think he's ready for this game. And I think they're gonna outwit and outplay Arch Manning. That's what I'm going with.
I'm going to agree with you this week. Okay. I'm also taking Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins the game by a field goal. I think this is an excellent game, by the way. I don't think either team gets blown out. I don't think either team is overwhelmed. I think Ohio State's talent will show, but I think that the home field advantage keeps Texas in this game. I think at the end of the day, though, one extra big play by Ohio State late in this game I'm going to say Ohio State wins this game in a low-scoring game, as I think both defenses kind of keep control of the offenses. I'm going to say it's 24-20. Ohio State comes back, wins it late, and they cover the spread. Actually, they're getting the point in the half, so they don't even have to cover the spread.
I'll say Ohio State 20-14.
Okay. Want to score. So we're both going low scoring this week, Jim.
Yeah. Yep. No, because they do have decent defenses, but I do think Ohio State this week.
Okay, great. You have any other points before we wrap this shindig up, Joe?
No, I think we're okay. No Lane Kiffin talk this week, so I guess good.
He blew him out last week, so we'll see what happens going forward. Yep. Well, thanks for listening to Bowl Games and Brackets. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Insta, X, everywhere. We're everywhere. We're growing. We're on our 10th episode, and it's only going to take off. And listen, as we enter week 2/week 3 of the college football season, the excitement is just starting, okay? We have big games this week. We had a couple last week. Big games this week. The conference matchups are coming, and we're real exciting. Remember, college football is so much more than the wins and losses, Joe. The rivalries, the traditions, the upsets, the heartbreaks, and the unforgettable moments that bring us all together. And we're going to have those leaves falling soon, Joe. We're going to have those great matchups. And every Saturday feels like it could change everything. And that journey starts this week in Austin. So, you know, it's going to change everything right away. We're going to find out who's the number one seeded team in the country. Is it going to be an SEC team or is it going to be a Big Ten team? And they're playing head-to-head all over the place. So until next time, you know, keep watching, keep debating, keep believing in your team. And most important, keep your bracket sharp and your bowl dreams alive.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.